Welcome to Shift with CJ. I'm your host CJ, and together we will explore the areas of health, human performance, biohacking, psychology, and much more that will inspire you to become the best version of yourself.
Hello and welcome everybody to the Shift with CJ podcast. Today we're going to do something different. We're going to take the latest health science, ancient wisdom, and I'm going to translate that into real world tactics, the ones that you can use today, tomorrow, every day, that can help you live longer, perform better, and feel like the best version of yourself. And you heard that right, every day. So today's episode is really special. I'll give you the TLDR of what we're going to be talking about. We're going to talk about four different topics. The first topic is related to something that all of us are facing, which is, why does your brain light up like a Christmas tree when it sees your phone, and how the biology behind it works? Next, I'm going to discuss with you a global report which was very shocking on how sugary drinks are actually stealing millions of lives per year, and what you can do today for yourself, for your family, and for your friends. Then we're going to be talking about smoking and how to quit smoking a science-backed way. And then later, I'm going to talk to you about a magical herb which can be amazing for your longevity. Okay, without much ado, let's jump into it. So if you're listening to this, there's a high chance you're listening to this on your phone or while you're driving, but you're playing it on your phone. Now, a new study shows us that just after 72 hours before, like without having your phone, your brain actually becomes addicted to it. I'm talking about cravings going up. I'm talking about you not being able to focus. And most of people I know, if they don't see their phone for the next 3 hours, they will have this. But let me tell you how our phone actually hijacks our brain and what can we do about it. So for those of us who usually make the statement that, hey, I'm using my phone, it's actually, I would like to propose a question. Are you using your phone? What if your phone is using you? Something to think about. Now, let's start with a simple idea on how our brain works. The idea is the brain is always scanning for rewards in the environment. The moment you get that ding or that buzz, that allows you, or the first reaction is that people look at their screen or their lock screen. Now, that's not very harmful, but a recent study shows us that if you go 72 hours without using your phones, then there is some craziness that happens. So what these researchers did was that they showed participants images first, then turned their phone on, and then turned their phone off, and then they were just randomly doing a lot of things to see what is the brain level of activity. Once the participants saw a phone, a photo on the phone, their brain activity just went crazy. It spiked, it exploded. And this is the same kind of brain activity that is also associated with cravings, with desires, with impulses. It wasn't just like, oh, that's my phone. It was like, I need that right now. Why? Because our phone is technically a tool, but it's also a trigger. Scientists are calling this a cue. Same as if you go next to McDonald's and you're really hungry and you see those French fries or you hear that, and you know, there's a voice in your head that says, oh, let me go get it. Phones have become that. Phones have become these modern dopamine slot machines, and every buzz pulls the liver even more. And here's where things get wild. So we have this thing called the nucleus accumbens. This is the brain's reward center. And whenever you're watching TikTok or Instagram, whenever you scroll through things, or you get a DM, or you get a like, or you get a share, it lights up. But it doesn't stop there. The more you withhold your phone, the more potent the reward becomes. So the more these areas start lighting up in your brain. In a study, just after 3 days of zero screen time, the subjects showed very crazy cravings, and they were very emotional when they saw the phone, and they had a very higher dopamine activity. Now you must be thinking, what is all this? So let me translate it for you. The absence of your phone actually creates a withdrawal effect in your body and in your mind. And good morning, that is addiction 101. Dopamine is, I gotta have it molecule, the pleasure molecule, the desirable molecule. And it doesn't spike when you get the reward, it spikes right before it. So when you see the phone, it spikes, not when you check it. And that's interesting because this is called incentive salience. And this is what drug addicts experience when they see a needle right before they even touch it. That's what your brain is actually doing with your phone. And that's crazy, right? But hold on, there's even more things. It's not only about dopamine. It's about where your brain actually focuses. So there is this other complicated thing in our brain called the anterior cingulate cortex. And think of this as the brain's attention filter. This is overactive, or was overactive rather, in the study where the subjects were shown the phone after the break. And here's why this is really important, because this is the part of your brain that is supposed to help you stay on task. It's the part of your brain that is supposed to help you be focused. And when this gets hijacked by these phones or these cues, you cannot sit through doing what you want to do. Let's say you're in a movie or you're trying to finish a sentence. You can't even be fully present in a conversation without reaching out to your phone. It's like a really craving. It's so much so that your phone actually becomes the center of your attention. And the way your phone is kind of like pulling your attention, it can be dangerous because there are so many neurochemicals that are involved in this process. First one is dopamine. We spoke about it. It's the pleasure, reward, desire, motivation molecule. Then there's serotonin, which is the satisfaction and the calmness molecule. There's cortisol, which is a stress molecule. And then there's melatonin, which is a sleep molecule. The more time you spend on your phone, especially at night, the more you damage all of these things and you damage your circadian rhythm, and that essentially disrupts your sleep and your sleep architecture. There's a reason why the more we have phones in the planet, the more our sleep is getting destroyed. And the more time you spend on it, it gets worse. And this just doesn't mean you don't sleep well. It actually means you're super tired when you wake up. And think about it this way. When you're super tired, you're not slept, what happens? You age faster. You have higher levels of inflammation. You have reduction in the brain's detox system because the lymphatic system in the brain, which is responsible, by the way, to take out all the toxins while you're sleeping at night, doesn't happen. And then guess what? You have another things like blue light. We went really deep into the blue light space because I started the first ever circadian company here in Dubai called Biohacking, and we make expert level blue light blocking glasses. They block not only blue, but green and violet light. But this is more than even blue light. Blue light itself is so dangerous, but actually this goes into something called stimulation loop. So your notifications create novelty in your brain. And every time you start scrolling, it is actually ramping up your nervous system. So your body never really relaxes. You might think you're in your bed and you're relaxed and you're looking at this, but your nervous system is not relaxed. You're, how experts call it, are in a constant state of low-level threat. Think about that one. Your phone has actually become your stressor. And this is classic. In the classic literature, they call this trauma bonding. But I want you guys to know that there you're not alone because everyone else is around you, but you're not helpless because with a few attention and focus, you can actually change this and you can retrain and rewire your brain. I'm going to share a few tricks for you. The first one is to actually shrink the queue. You know, maybe your grandma told this to you, out of sight, out of mind, put your phone in another room, disable the notifications, take out all the blue light, and every queue that you get, try to eliminate it. That will actually weaken the loop that we're in. Then you can also increase something called as a friction layer. So it makes things harder. What am I talking about? There are multiple app blockers these days. They just block your, after a certain time of phone use, they just block your phone. Or you can lock your screen with a passcode, which actually makes you more conscious and think before you unlocking it. So the more steps you have between you and TikTok or Instagram or whatever, it's more likely that you will engage on it at impulse. Then you can do something that I love to do, which is called dopamine fast, or you can take a mini dopamine fast. That means take 24 hours off weekly. You can do it on a Saturday, on a Sunday, and just see how you feel. It's not easy. This is one thing, like everyone thinks dopamine fast is easy. You will really see how difficult it is, even if it's not just a three like screens. So I will be realistic. Expect some discomfort, and that's withdrawal symptoms coming in. So eventually you're healing. And also something that we love to do at my company Biohacken, and just generally, is that instead of doom scrolling, we actually replace it with what we call as analog wins. So analog wins is cold shower. It increases dopamine by 400%. Or we want to kind of like get into an infrared sauna that increases serotonin. It increases brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And if you don't have technology, you can just sit and write. Journaling works best. Or just go out for a walk. Go out for a walk because it also increases cross-lateral brain syncing. And the most important thing, guard your first and last hour of the day, which means your phones should be off. Why? Because that's the time that you are the most programmable. So own those windows. Don't be owned by those windows. And again, I want to tell you that everything in life is about perspective. Your phone is not some evil thing, but it is designed to hijack some of your brain circuits. Then you add in social media and all of that stuff, so you're completely hijacked. But if you don't take control over your focus, your mood, your productivity, you will, now this is getting into something dark, actually you will be sold to the highest bidder. But I don't want to go there. I don't want to get into controversial stuff. Anyways, don't live a reactive life. Build a conscious life, build a powerful life. And, you know, just if you're listening to this, just start small. Hide your phone for one meal, maybe. Do one dopamine fast this week. Pay attention. When you're craving to use your phone, ask yourself who is in control. Because your brain ultimately deserves and is looking for peace. And guess what? The last time I checked, peace doesn't come from any notifications. So take those tips. Now, I want to talk to you about something very interesting that also came to my mind. I looked into it deeply because, I mean, I don't drink any sodas and I don't drink anything. The sweetener things that I have is mostly like protein bars, and I like to kind of consume like the lowest, try to control it most of the times, and I take it with all the natural sweeteners. But a lot of people are drinking sodas, and it's crazy because I live in a world where I don't encourage these things. But a new study just said that sodas, or like these sugar laden beverages, were responsible for about 338,000 deaths in 2020 alone. It's crazy, 338 deaths from drinking sugar water, in a way. And it's really getting to not the people who are the oldest, people who are in their 20s. So let me kind of like tell you what's going on in the world. A lot of people, when I used to travel a lot, like I was in Italy or Belgium in the summer or wherever I am, a lot of people that I know are actually drinking Pepsi or Coke or something because it's really hot outside. But that's not hydration, or that's not the idea of hydration. It's like you're starting a war in your own body. Now, Pepsi, Coke, or just take anything else. It's crazy because we live in this world where 10 teaspoons of sugar can be hidden in one of these cans. And the whole world calls it normal. It's fucking crazy. Sorry to be abusing here. It's fucking crazy. Because one of the things that a lot of people don't tell you, or is not common knowledge, is that that sugar is not even natural. It is refined fructose. Usually it is high fructose corn syrup. And it just doesn't make you unhealthy. It just doesn't make you fat. It actually damages your liver exactly like alcohol. It wrecks our favorite mitochondria, and it trains your body to actually store more fat than you ever want in your life. So it's not like, you know, people say stop eating sugar and stuff. It's not about eating sugar. This is worse than sugar. So let's sort of like break it down. The way your body processes fructose is that it bypasses insulin. So your body doesn't get the same signal as it does with like pure sugar. So it doesn't get any full signal, in short. So that's how your, even if you drink that, it's not like it's any nutrients are there. So your brain is going to constantly ask for more and more and more. And this fructose actually goes to your liver. Most of the carbohydrates that we use actually go to our muscles. And in the muscles, they can be used for energy. But fructose, unlike glucose, goes into your liver. Because only your liver can process fructose. And guess what? Your liver actually panics. The liver converts extra fructose into fat, leading to things which are even abundant in kids these days, which is non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And it increases something called as reductive stress, which occurs around the mitochondria. And this reduces your cellular energy. You become lazy, your cells become lazy, they all become dysfunctional, and your risk for some of the biggest things in the world, like type 2 diabetes, heart diseases, go up like crazy. I saw statistics where one can of soda per day can increase your chances of type 2 diabetes by 26%. That is crazy. And let me tell you something else which is interesting. This study in Nature, which looked at all of these sugar-laden beverages in about 184 countries, they found that 2.2 million new type 2 diabetes cases in 2020 were linked to these beverages. 1.2 million new cardiovascular cases was also recorded. There were 338,240 premature deaths. And if you combine all of that, that's 12.5 million healthy years, which were just boom, gone, disappeared, and nada left. So imagine actually losing a decade to your life just because you're drinking soda. I hope whoever is listening to this podcast, if you do listen to my podcast, you don't drink soda, but like this is still, I want to bring this up because maybe your dad does, or maybe your sister does, or maybe your friend does, or maybe the neighbor does. Please share this with them. And it's crazy because like the study looked at like places in Colombia and Mexico, they have increased their diabetes cases by 48%, and it's all caused by sugary drinks. In South Africa, almost there is one in three new diabetes cases. And this is going to be a world problem. Just wait and see. Mark my words, I can already see it. Fructose is crazy. I mean, I'm not saying fruit is bad. Don't get me wrong. Fruit is not bad. I mean, if you can burn it off, it's not bad. But fructose in a fruit is different, because fructose is in a fruit, you have the fiber, you have the water, you have the nutrients. But fructose in a can is like a sugar bomb. It really like damages your brain and causes even Alzheimer's and dementia. So what is also crazy, because all of these, it's a billion-dollar market, multi-billion-dollar market. So you will see that actually, because I love marketing and I love to study marketing and we do a lot of things, so it's interesting to note that because so much money has to be spent, their actual target for all of these things are actually kids before the age of 12, because that's their primary age of priming. So you will see that a lot of these ads are dedicated to kids, and they show them really, really early. They might use celebrities or people with status or people with huge communities. You know, sometimes you would see things like limited editions. So you know what I mean? People are really smart in this world. People are really, really smart in this world. So what should you do? I have some solutions for you as well. Step one is break the loop. Most people drink all these drinks because they think it's hydration. They're drinking it out of habit. They're either bored or they have less dopamine. Go out and do some analog wins for dopamine. And then if you feel the craving, replace it with either sparkling water or like lemon juice with mint or something like that. And the most easiest thing is like add electrolytes to your water. Because if you think your brain is craving for something, it's actually not craving for Coke. It's actually craving for minerals. Minerals. One of the most important things that biology demands from us. So be smart, guys. Out of sight, out of mind. Again, don't keep soda in your house. Okay? Use electrolytes. I said that. And Mel Gibson. One of the ones. She wrote this amazing book called The 5 Second Rule. You can also apply the 5 Second Rule here. So every time the craving hits, start counting for five, but count backwards, because this kind of like creates a pattern interrupt in your brain and it will reduce the loop. Then what you can also do is try changing your beverages to like sparkling water or something with like stevia. So then you can actually desensitize your taste buds, or you can have like a reduction on dopamine. And please, for God's sake, just read the labels. Read, it says full of bullshit, corn syrup, fructose, whatever, natural stuff. If they say natural flavors, not worth it. And if you have these kombuchas and stuff as well, sometimes there's like 25 grams of sugar. That's crazy. That's like eating a dessert. So go eat the dessert. I'm kidding. Don't eat the dessert as well. Or maybe if you prepare it in the healthy way. So this is what I wanted to tell you. If you are one of those people and you think you're tired all the time, your brain doesn't work, you're inflamed, maybe you have a muffin top or you're moody, before you look for a supplement, look what's in your cup. What's in your food? Look what's in your cup. That daily food or reason is probably the biggest reason why your body can't heal, why your fat doesn't reduce, and why your mind can't focus. Start there. Okay? Start there. Next, I want to talk to you about something also super interesting. I never smoked so much, but I have, like, my dad is a chain smoker, and, like, I know a lot of people around me which are smokers. And it's funny because I've been blowing this on for a very long time, but I wanted to, like, I saw something very interesting, so I want to share it with you. Smoking is the number one cause of preventable death worldwide. Yet, most people try to quit it and they can't. Do you know why? Because it's addictive. Do you know what is addictive? Nicotine is addictive. And it's not just addictive, it actually rewires your brain. But there was a study a recent study in 2025, which showed us something so interesting. It shows us that if you combine brain stimulation along with aerobic exercise, it just doesn't reduce the cravings. It actually reprograms your brain to break that habit. So let me share a few things with you that will be helpful. So just like we spoke about like the sugar and it kind of like, and the phones it hijacks, today's episode should be named Brain Hijacks. But then I couldn't put the last segment in. But anyways, because the three things that we've spoken about is a hijack. Smoking also is not a habit. It's actually a neural hijack because this thing called nicotine, it rewires our brain's operating system. It disables the prefrontal cortex, which is the CEO of your brain, is responsible for self-control, it's responsible for smart decisions, and at the same time, it kind of like pumps up your amygdala. Think of amygdala as your emotional center, or like I like to call it, it's called the panic button in your brain. The part that actually makes cravings feel like survival. And the longer you smoke, the stronger this craving command loop becomes. And if you're one of those ones who say, hey, CJ, what about willpower? Willpower is not even in the conversation when your brain's wiring is changed. But what if instead of fighting cravings, we could reprogram the craving circuit itself? This is what the scientific report showed us. So it was very interesting. It was a 5-day brain rewire study which combined transcranial direct stimulation, which is basically a small electric shock. You don't feel it so much, but in certain part of your prefrontal cortex. And then short sessions of movements or exercise to increase the blood flow in the forward or the prime of the brain. And guess what happened? Cravings dropped by 50% in just 5 sessions. Smoking in the people went down. The motivation to quit increased. Carbon monoxide, which is a direct sign of smoking, plummeted. And the brain scans show less reactivity to cigarette uses and even the cues. So this protocol, in short, did not just reduce the smoking behavior, it actually changed the brain's response to smoking triggers. That is neuroplasticity, friends, in real time. And here's the kicker. The brain stimulation alone did not help. It was the exercise plus the transdirect cranial stimulation, or let's call it TDCS, that created this transformation. Why? Because exercise primes the brain for change, the increase of blood flow, the upregulation of dopamine. And this makes our brain respond better in front of a stimulation. Now, what when you speak to people who smoke a lot, then you know this sort of like a habit loop? It happens because of a few things. Now, the first thing is cue, okay? You're stressed, you're angry, all your friends are smoking. That's a cue. Then there's a craving. Then there's a response. And then there's a reward. So cue, craving, response, and reward. And people who smoke, they don't enjoy smoking. It's about actually relieving a discomfort from a craving that smoking triggered itself. Nicotine is not a real fancy escape. It's like, it's a false escape. And to break the cycle, you cannot remove the cues. You cannot like tell your friends to stop smoking, or you can't reduce stress. You just have to retrain the response. So what the study shows us is that you can reroute the loop through consistent short intervals that train your body and your mind. So what do you need to do that? Don't worry, even this will apply to you, even if you are not the crazy level biohacker and don't have the transcranial direct stimulation. First thing, most important, even if you're not smoking, you should do this, okay? You should prime your brain with movement. do 30 minutes of moderate aerobic exercise every day. You can walk, you can cycle, you can jog, do whatever, but do it daily. If you're having some cravings, ideal time is to do it right before the craving usually hits. But you can also do it after meals, when you have stressful events, social triggers, because it increases the prefrontal cortex activity, which means you have more self-control. It increases brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is BDNF, so you have better brain wiring. Then it increases endorphins that helps you reduce anxiety and when you have the fluctuations in mood, which no one really likes. Then you can, if you want to become a biohacker, you can also look at flow neuroscience. There's OmniPMF. There's a lot of things you can access. And if you have one of those devices, again, check with your doctor. But in the study, they showed that if you can stimulate the left dorsolateral prefrontal cortex for 20 to 30 minutes per session, it would be great. But again, guys, listen, I'm not a neuroscientist. I'm not a doctor. I'm just a certified or uncertified biohacker, so do your own research. Talk to your own functional or neural practitioner. Anyway, what you have to do then is to repeat this. In the study, we saw 5 days, so each session can be around 30 plus, so like 45 to 60 minutes. And another study also that I saw from the American Journal of Preventative Medicine showed something even interesting. If you have a coaching call or an accountability partner, like two simple coaching calls can help young, in this case, there was vaping. So young adults quit vaping from 41 to 48%. This is without any patches, without any prescriptions, without any apps, because of accountability, as humans, like, you know, we want to be accountable. So if you know that someone is there to check your behavior and that person is going to be consistent to check your behavior, guess what? You want to change your behavior. Then you also have this thing called commitment consistency. Once you said to the world that you're quitting, your brain actually wants to follow through that. Because if not, you get into a state of cognitive dissonance, and that's like really stressful for your brain. So your brain actually wants to kind of like prove it. And then talking about why, you know, like Simon Sinek, he's got a very good video on YouTube. He says, starts with the why. If you start talking about why you want to quit something, your brain will actually link the goal, which is the final outcome, which is the quitting, to certain emotions. And that's actually a very big driver for action. So if you know someone or you're smoking yourself, and if you're serious, don't do it alone. Find a coach. Okay? And something else that you can also use is EFT or emotional freedom technique. I don't have time to go into this, but it basically uses tapping to neutralize cravings and emotional triggers. There are apps now called craving trackers. They can log a lot of things. One interesting thing, which I found out recently, is that you can have butyrate-rich foods. So butyrate or butyric acid is one of the three sort of short-chain fatty acids in your gut. And usually when you fix your gut health, you lower down systemic inflammation, you reduce oxidative stress, and all of those things actually lead to craving. So in essence, you reduce your craving. And take care of your gut health and add some like prebiotics, probiotics, postbiotics, but that's for another podcast. Okay? It's very easy to do if you're smoking. And especially if you're using social media, more people spend more time like looking at their social media feed. And remember, it's 5 sessions, 5 days, 50% drop in your craving loop. So you don't need motivation. You actually need a system. And then the last thing I want to talk to you about is something super interesting. I mean, the more I study this, the more I get to know the science, but like you know, Ayurvedic sciences, and people around the world have been doing this for like thousands of years. So the magic herbal compound that I want to talk to you about is something that you might find in your pantry. If you're Indian, Pakistani, Nepali, or, you know, just around this area, you'll find it even more, which is ginger. Super cheap, but magical. Okay? So it's crazy. So I want to talk to you about ginger and certain things that it is really good for your gut, because we spoke about gut, right? And your gut is your second brain and your gut is everything. So let's get straight into it. A lot of people, especially in this part of the world, complain about inflammatory bowel disease, Crohn's, colitis. And a lot of the times, a lot of people think that this is caused by bad bacteria. It can, but it's actually caused by your immune system. Some people rush to the toilet most of the time. Some people get cramps, and that's not even the beginning of it. It actually increases chronic inflammation. It destroys your gut lining. It ruins your nutrient absorption. And basically, it's a highway for all the toxins to enter your brain, your body. And if we look into classical research, then we know that this kind of condition can result into everything. You're more anxiety, you have more depression, you have brain fog, and in the worst case scenario, you have the big C word, which I don't want to take on the podcast. So the question becomes, how do you actually calm down your immune system without killing it using some of these strange immunosuppressant drugs? And the answer is ginger. Yeah, we finally got to it. So most people think of ginger as a spice, and sometimes it's used as anti-nausea medicine. But there is this new study in Nature which says ginger contains a crazy compound, which I haven't heard about it before. I know about the ginger oils and gingerocytes, but there is also another compound called furanodynine. Furanodynine, or the FDN, and this is a biologic or like a bioactive compound that actually modulates something called the PXR receptor, the pregaine X receptor in the gut lining. So PXR is basically your gut security system. It controls all your detox enzymes. It tells your immune system when to chill out or when to go crazy. It regulates how the lining of your gut opens. And what happens in especially inflammatory bowel disease, which I suffered for a very long time, is that your gut is constantly screaming that it's under attack. If you have some ginger, what this compound called furanodynine, or let's call it FDN, what it does is it activates the PXR without overstimulating it. It suppresses a ton of inflammation factors, especially the top three are TNF-alpha, IL-6, and IL-1. These are like cytokines, which are very powerful, that drive inflammation in the gut. And it's actually, what it does is it strengthens these tight junction proteins called occludin and zonulin, which actually seal your intestinal wall, and it actually stops toxins from leaking out. And you have a rock solid gut. The model that they use were like animal studies, and in the animal studies, weight loss was effective, colon damage dropped sharply, bleeding was lessened, there was no organ toxicity and no side effects. So that was really cool. And then, of course, the other ones that probably a lot of the biohackers might have heard about is the gingerol, or the gingerol, 6-gingerol, and the shagol. So the gingerol and the shagol, these also modulate the immune responses. They, again, they block macrophages, they inhibit MAPK signaling, they also reduce nitric oxide production. Now, nitric oxide all over the body is good, but in the gut, it can damage the gut, especially if you have it in excess. So these compounds in ginger are really, really good. They kind of like fine tune your immune system. So really good. And again, like most of the times, if you go to the doctor, you know what they're going to do? They're going to tell you, oh yeah, we're going to put you on some pharmaceutical drugs, and they're going to put you on things like corticosteroids. Guess what? It will really damage your liver. TNF blockers, this actually reduces all of your immune system activity. And just generally, immune suppressants, they're crazy. You can get sick because you can get infections. Your immune system is not working. But the FDN can actually reduce inflammation. It can support your barrier, gut barrier support. And it doesn't like touch other things like your white blood cells, your kidneys, your livers. In the researchers actually wrote that we believe natural products may regulate nuclear receptors with more precision than synthetic drugs, leading to cost-saving and cost-effective safe therapies for the IBD. That's amazing, right? It's like, imagine the doctors and the scientists talking about all this. So if you're listening to this, really fast things, I've started increasing my ginger tea with like a fresh root. Don't need much, 2 to 3 grams of sliced ginger, 15 minutes, add lemon, boom, you're ready to go. You cannot do this, you're in a office or whatever. Dried ginger actually has more shagols, which is the anti-inflammation thing that I spoke to you about. You can take it with food, you can mix it in drink, you can have supplements. Look for at least 5% gingerols, about like 250 to 500 mg. Take it once or twice a day. And better if you're having non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs with most of the doctors will give you, just kind of like ask them, be careful, because you know it can amplify all of the effects. Okay, so that's that, and looks like we are coming to the end of the show. If you like this, pick one or two things and start doing it. Or let's say do 3 things. Okay, let's try it. Maybe it's the ginger. Maybe it's hiding your phone for the first 1 to 2 hours of the day. Maybe if you drink soda, it's dropping the soda. But take action, please. And please, if this helped you, share it with someone you care, because that's how we spread real health. And if you are ready for deeper protocols, we are going to be restarting the school community. If you're already in the school community, you have all the videos. And then I will see you next week with more science, more strategies, and things that will actually make a difference in your life. This is me, CJ, your host, signing out from the Shift with CJ podcast. Everyone have a blessed day. I love you all.
Your time and presence with us through this podcast is highly appreciated. If you want to learn more, then head over to our website, www.shiftwithcj.com.